It is so good to be here with you. My heart rejoices. The service has just been such a blessing so far. And I pray the Lord be pleased to bless. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Galatians, chapter 6. I want to consider the first five verses that set forth the Spirit and the exhibition of the attitude and spirit of those who have been regenerated by the grace of God. That attitude toward our brethren. Brethren, according to what, Lord willing, we shall read in just a few moments, that have been overtaken in a fault. Now, I had gotten up this morning and started going over these notes. As I was going over the notes, something marvelously apparent began to cross my mind as we consider our attitude toward others that were taken or overtaken in a fault, what our attitude ought to be. Well, before I go any farther, and I'll share with you what I wanted to add to this message. We'd all do well to remember where all of us have come from. We'd all do well to remember the pit from which we've all been dug. We'd all be doing well to remember our state as being found in our father Adam. That we've been dug from a pit, out of the darkness of sin, unbelief. How did we get here? Well, in the garden, our father Adam, from whose loins we've all come. Now that's, we're all together here. That's all of us right now. We're all together, found out of Adam's loins. When Adam rebelled, we all rebelled. We all disobeyed God. When Adam took of that fruit that was forbidden of God, we all ate. And all that was good was lost. All that was good as far as man being upright, created, made upright, straight. That's what it means, straight. Before God. It was lost, all of it. In the day that you eat thereof, the Lord told Adam, you're going to die. What did man lose in the garden? He lost life. Spiritual life. Peace, fellowship. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Turn to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4 to 7. but God. Oh, I like that scripture, Rex, wherever you are. That scripture you just read out of Psalm 57. I looked at those two words this morning, but God, but God, but God, who is rich in mercy. God be merciful to me. God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. We've read this so many times. Isn't it amazing how alive it is? Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Oh, the mercy of God. To hell-deserving sinners, he quickened us together. But a question, how can the just God, God who is just, I'm a just God, and a Savior, how can God who is absolutely just, the soul that sinneth is going to die. God who will in no wise clear the guilty. How? Turn to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. How can God be just and justify a sinner? Well, there's one who could answer. There's one who could answer for hell-deserving sinners like all of us. And what is his name? What shall he be called? Isaiah 58. Look at verse 12. Isaiah 58, 12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called, now look at this, capital T, the repairer of the breach. The, capital T, restorer of paths to dwell in. Look at Psalm 69, verse 4. Psalm 69, verse 4. What did the Lord say concerning all that was lost for a people of God's everlasting love in Christ Jesus? What did he do concerning all that was lost? Psalm 69, verse 4. The scripture says, they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. Let me tell you what happened. There were some people. A people, a remnant of God's choosing, Ephesians 1:4. They were loved of God, everlastingly loved of God. Jeremiah 31:3. I've loved you with an everlasting love. They were chosen by the Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And he came into this world and lived for them. Went to Calvary for them and bore all of their guilt. All that was lost. All that was lost in the fall. Christ was made sin. He was made sin for them. He who knew no sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And these sinners, John 10:15, I lay down my life for the sheep. He died for somebody. And these sinners, for whom atonement was made by the blood of Christ. I looked up that word atonement again this morning. I want to know exactly what that word means. The atonement. Listen to this. Restoration to favor. Restoration to favor. Christ is our atonement. And now these sinners, in time, shall be graciously, powerfully, mercifully called by God's Spirit through the hearing of this gospel, the declaration of the marvelous grace of God, the will and purpose of Almighty God to show mercy to whomsoever He will. Show me Your glory, Moses said. This is my glory. I will be merciful. I'll cause all my goodness to pass before You. And I will show mercy on whom I'll show mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. He does as He will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. This is His glory. I'm going to show mercy in the process of time. God Almighty is going to cross their paths with this message, only this message, the power of God unto salvation. And God Almighty is going to irresistibly call them to Himself. Going to remove that heart of stone and give them a new heart, new spirit, new mind. And now these that fell in Adam, born into this world, children of wrath, wrathful toward God, even as others, God, in His infinite mercy, is going to change them just like He did that thief on the cross that was railing on the Lord, just like the other one, just a moment before. And then God gave him a new heart. But his attitude was changed. He's a new spirit, new heart, new love, new affection. And the one that was railing on him, that vessel of mercy, that thief, one breath, he was just railing on the Lord. And all of a sudden, by the grace of God, Lord, when You enter into Your kingdom, would You remember me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, today you'll be with me in paradise. How can God be just and justify a sinner? Only in the substitute, the restorer, the one who restored that which He took not away. But there's a problem. These that the Lord has mercifully called out of darkness, those that truly know Him, they know Him. They love Him. They've got a new heart. But these right here carry something with them that wars against the law of their new man. There's something that they have within them that they're going to carry to the grave. And it's called a body of death. That old man with which we were born, that old man never changes. He never changes. There's no renewing of that old man. That old man is just as old as he's ever been. He's just as ornery and just wrathful as he's ever been. And that old man is in that believer. That believer groans under him. That old man, that new man, wars one against the other. And that old man, that body of death, that right there is the substance. That's the source, the foundation of a believer's stumbling. That old man that does nothing but sin. That's all he does. And that new man sees him. That new man sees him. And he hates what he sees. That new man hates what he sees. Paul said in Romans 7:15, "For that which I do, I allow not. I know not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." So here's the situation. No believer is immune to the struggles and the stumblings and the failings of this flesh. There is an old man there that's ever ready to seize that opportunity to evil. But I know something. I know, according to the Scriptures, the Lord said, John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." They follow me. Now, knowing from whence we've all come, knowing where the Lord found us, everlastingly knew His people, everlastingly loved His people, saw the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In time, we came into this world, rebels against God, haters of God, haters of all that's right, good. Haters of God, haters of God's gospel, haters of God's people. Those that bear in our body, this old man, this is the way we all are. But we're all susceptible to stumble and fall. Now knowing where we've all come from, Galatians 6:1. Brethren, you who are of the same family, born from above, born of the same God of all grace, brethren, people of God, shown the same mercy, shown the same compassion for Christ's sake, you who are, we're united in Christ, bought with His blood. Brethren, if or though a man be overtaken in a fault, though a man sidestep, what it is, deviation, be surprised by temptation, seized in a moment of passion, passion got the better of him. He taken in an impulse. Didn't plan it. Didn't sit there and contemplate it. But just he was seized. Have you ever gone outside in the middle of a winter day and have your feet go out from under you? Slip. I mean, hit the ground. Now, I don't know about you, and I'm sure I don't think as quickly as I used to, and I don't think you do either. When did you realize you were falling? You know when I realized it? Jimmy, when I hit the ground. I never even thought about it before. I didn't even know I was falling. I can remember falling here a couple of years ago, walked out my back door, and I'm telling you, before I knew it, I was saying, "Ow, that hurt." You ever stepped on a rotten board? Something that rotten out in the woods, stepped on a log or something that's rotten? How long did it take you to realize it was rotten? Well, by the time you probably stumbled after you tripped, all of a sudden you realize, overtaken in a fall. Before you knew it, before you could realize you even thought it or did it or said it, whatever it is, you that are spiritual, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, You which possess the Spirit of God, who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to worship God in the Spirit. You who rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. I'm talking about believers now. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one. Now let's remember where from whence we've come now. Where we were when the Lord found us. I restored that which I took not away. He did it perfect before God. And here we are, struggling sinners, dealing with brethren who are just like us. You which are spiritual, restore, set right, like setting of a bone. How am I going to do it? Now, if I go in there and I'm broken something, you know how I want them to do it? Be careful. Be careful. Don't be careful. I'm already hurt. Be tender. Well, we're going to have to give you a shot. Well, be careful. Be easy. Restore such an one. Compassionately, tenderly, affectionately. How? Oh, faithful instruction from God's Word. Praying for them tenderly. I know how you feel. Oh, I pray God help us. Restore him. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Humility. Humility. I think about whenever Abraham and Lot, their herdsmen had a squabble over some grass. Remember that? They were out there and the herdsmen was all upset because our cows don't have enough grass and your cow's getting over my grass. What did Abraham tell him? He said, I'll tell you what. We're brethren. We're brethren. You take what you want, Lot. It's what Abraham said. And I'll take what's left. You go this way, I'll go there. You go that way, I'll go there. That's meekness. That's humility. You take it. You whatever you feel is right for you. You do what's best for you. That's meekness. Trusting God. Believing. Restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, kindness, forbearance. Not with anger and overbearing spirit, fault-finding attitude, trying to inflict discipline, you know. Not with a harsh, unforgiving spirit, but with love and patience and readiness to forgive. And here's the explanation. Let me say this. If you'd say, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Say, well, okay, well, explain that to me. Well, the Spirit of God does it right here. I'm going to explain it to us right here. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Considering thyself, taking heed to yourself, lest thou also be tempted. Remember, if a brother, sister, if one be overtaken in a fault, from that same old man we all got, remember where we've come from. And restore him in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself. We all must be on guard. That old man that's within us. Oh, I'd never do that. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. Don't think, no, I'm not capable of doing that. Oh my. Remember, we're all liable to fall prey to anything, but for the grace of God. Bear, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear with me. Bear with me. A brother or sister taken in a fault, they're under tremendous guilt. What believer here? I mean, think about even our attitudes. I mean, something that we didn't even, maybe we didn't even respond to somebody, but we thought it. We thought something. And all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, I wish I wouldn't have thought that, especially if I said it. I wish I wouldn't have said that, but listen, they know what they've done. Bear with them. They know that they've fallen prey to the weakness of their flesh, and help them. Help them. That the word bear, they means to lift, sustain, carry, receive, sympathize with them. Be sympathetic. The scripture says in Romans 15:1, then we that are strong in the Lord, knowing something of our weakness. Paul said, when I'm weak, when I realize what I am, really, that's when I'm strong. That's when I realize my need of Him. I need Thee every hour, just like we sang. We that are strong, knowing our need of the Lord sustaining us, casting our care, all our care upon Him. He careth for us. We ought to bear the infirmities. We ought to lift up and bear patiently, not contending with. We ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, those that are weak in the faith, that's fallen, just like we're capable of doing, just like we do all the time. We're not kidding anybody. Oh, we ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. Not be pleasing of ourselves, puffing ourselves up. Remember from whence we've come. Remember. Remember. The scripture says, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens. When I just stop and think what the Lord has borne for me, what He bore for me, made what I am, made sin, made what I am, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What has He borne for me? Oh, Marvin, if a man, if a brother, if a sister be overtaken in a fault, you restore such an one in a spirit of meekness. You consider yourself. I have nothing in which to brag. Make my boast in Him. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now this life right here is a life of heartache. I was thinking about, as Rex was talking about, our dear brother D. Parks. Those of you that know him, I'm sure we all do. Oh, I love him. I love him. Talked to him a few times last week or so. And I think my heart just rejoices when I think, oh, Lord, help me to have that attitude right there. His wife, Christy, his kids, those that are going through things, we all that's gone through things, suffered. Bear ye one another's burdens. Man that is born of a woman is a few days. Job 14:1, he's full of trouble. Carry the burden of our brother. Bear it as our own, helping them to recover. And don't add to their trial. I'm so glad that, I'm so thankful that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of myself, the gift of God. Oh, how thankful I am that when the Father looks at me to answer, I've got one to answer for me. Lord, don't look to me. Lord, look not to me. Oh, how comforting that there's one that's borne my guilt, loved me, forgave me, helps me. Bear ye one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ. This blessed law. Turn to John 13. John 13, verse 34, 35. The law of Christ. What is that? Law of Christ. John 13, verse 34 and 35. The Lord said, a new commandment I give unto you. Now here's the law of Christ. That you love one another. As I've loved you, that you also love one another. Here's the law of Christ. Here's the exhibition of the law of Christ. Verse 35. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Law of Christ. Whenever the Apostle Paul relates to God's people that we're not motivated by the law of Moses, but by the law of Christ. That blessed law that was taught us by the Spirit of God. I will, as I said a while ago, I'll remove a heart of stone and we'll give you a new heart. New spirit, new attitude. And that new heart, that new life, going to be exhibited by love. By love. Love for the brethren. Love for God. Love for God's Word. It's demonstrated in a new life. I'm talking about in a new life, that same life that God's people struggle with, that old man. They struggle, but there's a new man there. 1 John 3:14, and we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Though I speak, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 13:1, with the tongues of men and angels, and have not charity, love, I'm become as a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Back in Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. Pride and self-righteousness, self-sufficiency, oh, that's just interwoven into our very being. In the garden, Satan deceived, beguiled Eve, deceived our first parents, and told Eve, he said, Hath God said? She said, this is what the Lord said. He said, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. God knows in the day that you eat, you're going to be as gods, knowing good and evil. They ate and suffered the penalty. It failed. And now here's all of us. We're all born proud and arrogant and deceived. That's what he says. If a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, What man atoned for his own sin? What man chose himself? What man answered God's law by his perfect walk, by his right? What man? What man truly has a free will that's dead? His will's not free. If a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, only a believer will hear those words and say, I know. Every believer, don't do it, but every believer, you know, would say, I say, let me see the hands of everybody that knows themselves to be nothing in themselves. Every believer would raise their hand. That's me. That's me. Man, think himself to be something when he's nothing. He knows he's not capable of walking before God, sustaining himself, of doing that which is right and honorable. The Lord said, without me, you can do nothing, nothing. I can pray. No, you can't. It's the Spirit that helpeth us. We don't know what to pray for. We know that. Man, at his best state, is altogether vanity. Oh, when one falls prey to temptation of thinking himself to be so stable, spiritual, so strong, to keep himself falling, he's just revealing. He's deceived. Deceived. Romans 7:18, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, the Apostle Paul says, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. If the Lord leaves us to ourselves, we're not going to make it. Verse 4. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. Let a man prove himself. Prove his own work. How? How? How do I prove my own work? By the examining of what he thinks of himself in a fair and impartial agreement with God's Word. I just quoted, and the Lord said, without me, you can do nothing. What does a believer say? Without him, I can do nothing. I can't give myself rest, peace, comfort. What does a believer say? A believer says, the Lord says, you come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden, I will give you rest. No believer looks to himself. Oh, when we test, examine ourselves in light of God's Word, God's glory, God's holiness, we then admit, we're convinced that we possess in our old man a nature that we dare not trust. No believer trusts his old man. He don't trust himself. We don't look to ourselves for righteousness. And therefore, our brethren, just like us, we're not to sit in judgment over others. We look to Him. Lord, help us. Let every man prove his own work by the Scriptures, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. With a true proving and examining of ourselves in light of God's Word, we realize that we stand not in our own works, not in our own worthiness. We stand only in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that in ourselves. I know that. In light of what God has to say, I know in myself. Now listen to what he's saying. Let every man prove his own work by the Scriptures. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone that I am what I am by the grace of God. And I'm not looking to others and comparing myself with others to establish myself before the Lord. That's what he knows. My brethren are like me. They struggle just like I do. When they fall, I realize something. They're doing just exactly what I'm capable of doing. And the one who has restored me, who's loved me and shown mercy to me, brethren, you that are spiritual, you restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, you considering yourself. Well, I'm telling you, wouldn't it be a wonderful place if we could find a place where we all had a spirit like that? Well, wouldn't that be utopia? Well, it won't be found in this world. But I'm telling you, God help us to strive after it. Last verse, verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. In that day of God's judgment, every man is going to give account. This is what the Spirit of God moved upon Paul to write. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Revelation, turn with me, Revelation 20, as I finish up. Revelation 20, verse 11, 15. The Apostle John, in this vision of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, said, Revelation 20, 11, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them, as I've said so many times, no place for them to hide. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death, hell, delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. In that day, and we know this, we're all going to stand before God. Account is going to be given. What Scripture says. All men, all women that stand before God without the great high priest himself, without God's mediator, without God's advocate, the Lord Jesus, they're going to begin to give account. They're going to be pleading their own works. Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We've done many marvelous works in your name. And without the substitute himself, the Redeemer, the High Priest, to answer for them. Here is the scriptural revelation of God's answer. Matthew 7:23. I never knew you. I never knew you. I never knew you in my son. I never knew you in mercy. I never knew you in compassion. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, the marvel of having been restored and reconciliation made by Christ on the behalf of a hell-deserving sinner. All that have to answer for themselves, who wants to answer for himself before God. I don't. I have nothing to say of myself. But in the midst of all who stand before God, there's going to be a people. A people of God's choosing, from those everlastingly loved and chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would be holy and without blame before God in love. And their names were written, Revelation 20 verse 12, in the book of life from before the foundation of the world. Before my mom and daddy knew my name. By God's grace, God did. And wrote it. And all found written in the book of life himself. I'm going to conclude where I first started. Those loved of God in Christ. Those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life, paid their debt before God's law, shed his blood, regenerated by the grace and power of God, given faith to believe, cast themselves upon the Lord for mercy, robed in the perfect righteousness of Christ, according to God's word. And this, here we go. Here's proving ourselves. It'll be in, within us. Here's the proof I got. The only thing I got is God's word. Having cast myself upon the mercy of God. Come unto me. I'll give you rest. He that believeth shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Lord, I believe. Help mine unbelief. To hear these words, come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, and who's not capable? Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself be something, when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. I pray the Lord be pleased to bless these words to our hearts, for Christ's sake and our good. Amen. Okay, Rex.